Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us. Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. It is Wednesday evening in Lansing, 609. On today's program, the Pure Michigan ad campaign not only bringing tourists to the state, but also business and investment. We'll talk about how it's changing the way the state business and banks see us, that is out-of-state businesses and banks, and the mandatory helmet law for motorcyclists now back in front of the governor. It's happened twice before and went down in flames. Will it happen again? But first, the Supreme Court in its final day of oral arguments over the Affordable Care Act today, looking at the issue of severability, whether some parts of the act can move forward while others are deemed unconstitutional, and looking into the Medicaid expansion provision in the act to discuss where these 3 days of arguments leaves Obamacare. I'm joined by John Freeman, executive director of Know Your Care, a pro-healthcare reform group in Michigan. John, thanks for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me on your program.
You know, I noticed there are a lot of these groups that are very opposed to Obamacare. They're very vocal, but it is kind of hard to find groups like your own. Would you say that assessment is as accurate?
No, I actually wouldn't. I think there's a lot of organizations that are very supportive of the Affordable Care Act. In fact, if you look at all the briefs that were filed called amicus briefs, the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, the American Hospital Association, they all support the Affordable Care Act. So I just think that probably because the Republicans control the U.S. House of Representatives and that the Tea Party people are kind of the in thing right now, they just get more attention.
Okay, so let's talk about this. What happens if the individual mandate is knocked down, but the rest of the Affordable Care Act moves ahead? Where will that leave the entire system?
Well, there are still many wonderful parts about the Affordable Care Act that will improve health care access for people in Michigan. For instance, you know, there would be no more discrimination by insurance companies with people with a pre-existing condition. Young adults could remain on their parents' policy to age 26. Which I think will be wonderful for young adults.
But isn't the key to funding all this having everyone involved? Once we don't have that dynamic, where's the funding going to come from?
Well, I was answering specifically your question, Michael, that if only the individual mandate is struck down and the rest of it's upheld. But you're right. I mean, if the individual mandate is struck down, there won't be as many healthy people buying into insurance. But my honest-to-God belief, Michael, is that there's 1 million people in Michigan without health insurance. The vast majority of them are middle-class working people. They want to buy insurance. The problem is they can't afford it. And so if we make insurance affordable, then they will be able to purchase it. So
I guess I'm wondering if these regulations that you're talking about and these new structures, if they'll actually work if we don't have the money to make them work with everyone paying into the system.
But, Michael, the law is designed to penalize people who don't buy insurance, but the feeling is that will be a very small number of people. And so the mass majority of people will buy insurance, so there will be enough funding within the healthcare system to support these other new regulations. Let me give you one example. You know, that the expansion of the Medicaid is going to be paid for with federal dollars. And so there will be a lot of working class people making less than $88,000 a year that will be able to buy insurance through the exchange, which the Michigan legislature still needs to pass. And if they get it, if they get the insurance through the exchange, they will receive a tax break for them to be able to afford to buy it.
Now, look, part of the problem is the amount of money this is going to cost. The Congressional Budget Office now puts the total cost of Obamacare at more than $1.7 trillion. That is more than double than the original projection of $940 billion. So almost $2 trillion in 10 years, critics say that is way too much. Are you not concerned about a program that's going to be this expensive?
Well, I'm absolutely concerned about the high cost of health care. But I beg to differ. The Congressional Budget Office about 2 weeks ago came out with a new report, which I'm assuming you're pulling that statistic from. But it was my understanding, with all due respect, that based upon the computer models that they actually projected that it would cost slightly less than what they originally projected 2 years ago. Anytime there's a computer model, they do the worst case scenario, they do various scenarios. And my guess would be that the statistic you pulled was probably the absolute worst scenario. But the main projection that even Paul Krugman talked about in the New York Times was that the Congressional Budget Office actually projected that would slightly save more money than what was originally projected 2 years ago.
I see. Well, one thing is certain is the numbers are never clear. Another thing, by the way, I'm talking to John Freeman. He's the executive director of Know Your Care. It is a pro-healthcare reform group in Michigan. The CBO also estimates that while the uninsured residents in the state will be reduced by 32 million people, at least 23 million uninsured residents, the third of which are illegal immigrants. Isn't that a big hole that should have been addressed by this legislation, how we're going to handle illegal immigrants?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because there's some people out there that think that illegal immigrants are covered under this law, and that simply is not the case. The Congress decided not to include illegal immigrants into this system. So, yes, they will not have health insurance, and that is a problem. And that just speaks to the fact that we need to have a better national policy regarding illegal immigrants, not only in terms of potential health care concerns, but job concerns and educational concerns and all that. So that's a whole separate ball of wax, but that's a much bigger issue than the Affordable Care Act. At this point, I think we should focus on trying to make insurance affordable and accessible for Americans that are legal citizens.
What about the worries, though, that we'll have a flood of new people in our medical system, that meeting with a doctor and scheduling medical procedures will become much more difficult and require a long waiting times? Is there no potential reality there?
Well, I would argue to the contrary, that if, in fact, we get 30 million more Americans that have access to health insurance so they can see doctors, that will actually create jobs within the healthcare sector in Michigan. You know, let me give you an example. The Detroit Medical Center is currently about to break ground on a brand new hospital in Detroit. That's based upon the fact that they project there will be a lot more people in Detroit that will have insurance and therefore will use this new hospital. So that's going to create a demand for more doctors, more nurses, more administrative staff, more data people. So that will be good for the Michigan economy. It actually will create jobs. And there may be a little bit of a lag time. You're right. The demand for more doctors may be there, and so we'll have to, you know, encourage the medical schools to encourage the medical students to become primary care physicians because they will be the initial gatekeepers for all these new people.
I see. Just about a minute left, but look, the Medicaid expansion is likely to be a problem considering that many doctors right now, they want nothing to do with these patients because of the reimbursement rates that are extremely low. Don't you think that should have been addressed before 16 million more people are added to the program?
Well, actually, Michael, it was addressed. A part of the Affordable Care Act is to raise the reimbursement rate for Medicaid patients to match that of Medicare. And so that will give an incentive for primary care doctors to, in fact, bring on more Medicaid patients.
Does that not run out after 10 years, though?
Excuse me?
Does that not change? I mean, that will die out after several years, though, right?
Well, I think I'm not sure whether it expires after a certain number of years. All I know is that beginning in 2014, when the influx of new people should come into the system, if all things go according to plan, that the reimbursement rate will go up for primary care physicians for Medicaid patients, so they will be able to afford and make it a medical incentive, an economic incentive for them to care for these new patients. And if 10 years from now we have to revisit this issue, so be it. You know, like any piece of legislation and laws, occasionally we have to revisit it in order to tweak it or to make changes based upon the experience we have.
10 seconds left. Your bet, I'm guessing, is that this entire law will be deemed constitutional?
Well, I'm not a betting man. You know, certainly I hope it's constitutional. We have a health care crisis in this country. We need to reduce the cost of health care. We need to get more people into the health care system. And frankly, the legislation that was passed is the best that we could get politically. So if this is shot down, it's going to set our country back, and certainly it will hurt the business community as well.
John Freeman, Executive Director of Know Your Care. John, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, Michael, and feel free to bring me back anytime.
Absolutely.